Learn how to build your faith on God's word and live a life of 100% victory 100% of the time. As you listen to the senior pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okunkwo, and expect God's word to work for you.
Somebody. Okay. Today we're running up the teaching that we've been doing titled, I Am. And we've been establishing that we get our sense of identity from who God says we are. All right? Your identity doesn't come from any other thing. Your identity comes from who God says you are. Very important. Let's start from first. You know, one of the things you must be free from, from who people think you should be. You must be free from who the society thinks you should be. Because human beings have an image and a mindset of who they think you should be. And if you are not free from that, you will always be under the bondage of who they think you are. Hallelujah. So much society pressure. I was telling you in the first service, you know, the pressure to marry. Many Christians idolize marriage. They've turned marriage to an idol. So the pressure to marry is much. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17, the Message translation. 1 Corinthians 7, 17, but the Message translation. See what it says? It says, and don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. He said, where you are right now is God's place for you. He said, live and obey and love and believe right there. He said, God, not your marital status, defines your life. He said, it is God and not your marital status that defines your life. It is God and not your marital status that defines your life. So your life is not defined by whether you are married or not. But a lot of ladies today are under pressure to marry because society puts them in that pressure. I must marry. You get your sense of identity from God. Hallelujah. I'll move on a bit further. Today we're talking about emotional balance. Emotional balance. God gave us emotions. And that word for emotions is feelings, all right? God gave us the ability to feel. God gave us emotions for a reason. Emotions are very useful. They are very good. It's something we actually need. However, God never intended that emotions control us. You will have feelings, but your feelings must not control you. If you cannot develop emotional balance, you will miss out on the best things that God has for you. You need to attain emotional balance. There is emotional balance. There is emotional intelligence. I have seen people, men and women, that are high flyers in their career, but they are not emotionally intelligent. Heavy certificates, PhD, triple masters, degrees, certified, ED, manager, big people in places they work, in career, academics, but they are not emotionally balanced. They might be mentally sound, but emotionally imbalanced. You need to, the same way you go to school to develop your mind, to develop your mental capabilities, is the same way you must also train your emotions, or else it will have a way of limiting you from being your best when you are not emotionally mature. Hallelujah. You need emotional maturity. Praise God. All right. Now, like I said, we have emotions, but God never intended for the emotions to control us. Your emotions can be your leader or your guiding factor. Emotions are powerful, they are good, but they were never designed to lead. They cannot lead you. You can't always live by how you feel. No. You can't live by how you feel. The reason is because there are many times you need to do some things that you don't feel like doing. So you must master that art. And there are some times you need to do some things, but you don't have the feeling to do it. Let me explain what I mean. There are times, as a husband or wife, you need to love your spouse, but you don't feel like. Is somebody here? At those times, you need to balance your emotion to follow you, whether you feel like or not. Then there are times, for instance, you are having feelings for somebody you should not be having feelings for. At that time too, you should call your emotions to come back here. Come back here. You are designed to control your emotions, not your emotions controlling you. Emotions doesn't have sense. It wasn't created to have sense. It wasn't created to lead you. It wasn't created to be the one that makes decisions. So the problem is that some people have put their emotion in front to be making decisions for them. So they will make a lot of bad decisions when emotion is the one deciding, because he didn't come with sense. If emotion had sense in it, God wouldn't give you sense. If he gives you emotion, you assume you already have sense. No, he gave you emotion, but he still gave you sense, because emotion doesn't have sense. You can have any kind of feeling. Somebody gets what I'm saying? Emotions are good, but they were never designed to be the leader, to be the decision maker. Where people enter trouble is when they consult their feelings to make critical decisions. They consult their feelings. How do I feel? And some people live like that permanently. They always live based on how they feel. All their response to situations based on feelings. And if you live like that, you'll be a very ineffective person. You will never be able to achieve the fullness of what you can achieve because you are emotionally imbalanced. I don't know if somebody gets what I'm saying. Emotions are good. They cannot be the factor that decides what you do. They can't be the factor. They can't be the decider. They can't be the leader. Many of the bad marriages are born out of people that made emotional decisions, not sensible decisions. Then when they even enter the marriage, they also need to manage the emotion, but they don't manage it. So they respond anyhow they feel. Let me give you an example. Beating your wife or beating your husband. I know you don't know that happens, but I'm a pastor. Trust me. I'm a pastor. Trust me when I say beating your wife or beating your husband, because it happens. Beating your spouse is a sign of emotional immaturity. Are you getting this? Because I agree, the person provoked you. I agree, the person annoyed you. But the Bible says, be angry and sin not. So we agree they made you angry. Yes, we agree. But if you have emotional control, you will not respond or yield based on how you feel. Oh, there are many times you will feel like slapping somebody. Somebody gets what I'm saying? But that's not the right thing to do. Women, there are many times you will feel like having a word battle, a mouth battle. And you know, women, their own mouth is machine gun. Men's mouth is a cock and shoot. You know cock and shoot? Ah, you didn't watch cowboy film those days. Cock and shoot is one that every time you shoot, you have to cock it again. And it sounds, then you cock it. But women's mouth is machine gun. Once they cock it once, ch-ch. They go, don't talk 100. The man said they try to think of one. So she has messed him up, messed his family, abused everybody. And she has not even drank water. She didn't even breathe. In one stretch. Because it's machine gun. But man is, and by the time the man sees you're overpowering him with words, he will take the battle to an arena where he will win. Blow. So when he give you slap, bah! Argument end. Because you can't fight him. So both of you, in that case, did not manage your emotions. So there are times you feel like insulting the life out of your husband. There are times you feel like he's so annoying, you want to give him a piece of your mind. You want to insult his mother, insult his generation. But you see, emotional maturity helps you not to respond the way you feel. That's maturity. I feel like this, but I choose not to respond the way I feel. He said, be angry, oh, because you can't, might not be able to control that. But he said, don't sin. Do you see? The Bible says you can be angry because you can't choose that one. To say you can't be angry at all means you are strange. Because you'll be angry. There are some people that are very annoying. I don't know if you have met people like that. It's as if they are gifted. They are annoying. So the Bible says you can be angry. We agree. But don't respond based on that anger. Is somebody getting this? Sometimes you feel like giving people fire for fire. But if you have started learning how to manage your emotions, you understand that usually that your first reaction is not the best reaction. Because some of those words you are going to say or type, you can't take them back. If you slow down a bit, you'll be in a better mental state to say what you want to say in a non-aggressive way. What causes physical violence in homes is two people that don't want to manage their emotions. Because truly, most times, it's only in rare cases that a man would just be beating a woman for nothing. It's only in rare cases. And those ones are mental cases that should have been reported to the, you know, psychiatrist long ago, and they should have carried him to Arrow or, you know, Yaba left. Those are pure men. But in the normal cases that a woman has been beaten, the woman too was looking for the beating. She was using words that can only end with beating. That's what happens. Your first reaction. See, if you calm down, you will say the same thing you want to say, but in a better way. There's always a better way to say what you want to say. There's always a better way. But you see, if you say it at the spur of the moment, the way you are feeling, it will transfer anger. And the Bible says, whatever you sow, you will what? So when you give out that your opinion in anger, it will come back with hundredfold anger. That's what causes trouble. So usually don't be quick to respond. The Bible says be quick to hear, but be slow to speak. If you can slow down your response, you will give a better response. If you can slow it down, it says be quick to hear. That means be quick to hear the person's opinion. But when it comes to your response, be slow to give it. You can coin it. You can coin it. For instance, you see, I'll give a general example, but you look for how it applies to your situation sometimes. Instead of saying something like, people that are short should come this way. You see, you have said people that are short. It's insulting. You can say people that are not tall is less offensive. Or people that are not as tall. It's the same thing you have said, though, but one doesn't appear. There are many other examples, you know, but I'm just trying to say, just slowing down and rephrasing what you are saying can get you the results instead of responding in that spur of the moment with the anger that you have. Be quick to hear. Look at it here. James 1:19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear and what? Slow to speak and what? Slow to wrath. Wrath is anger. Serious one. They said once you slow down your speaking, you will also slow down the anger. The Bible said a soft answer turneth away wrath. Soft answer. Look at it here. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer does what? Turns. So what they are saying is that if you can slow down your response and let it be cool, you also cool the anger. But what fuels the anger with this? What it means is that what fuels the anger is that when you give the fireful response in words, it will what? Fuel the anger. And there's no telling. Of course, we are seeing stories of husbands stabbing wife and wife stabbing husbands. It's all over the news. It's becoming rampant. It's anger. Because the response was not slowed down. So God gave us emotions, but emotions can be a great destruction. If you don't manage it. Are you listening to somebody? God gave us emotions, but emotions can be a great danger if it's not managed. God never expected or intended that you make decisions based on how you feel. If you do that, then 90% of the time, you'll be wrong. Same thing. Oh, some people think when I come to church and I'm preaching like this, laughing and shouting, or I'm outside greeting people and smiling, some people think I always feel like doing it. No. Some days I'm very tired. Some days I'm very stressed out. Some days I have different emotions. But you see, when you learn how to manage your emotions, you'll be able to smile when you need to. Even if you don't feel like. Is somebody getting this? Even if you don't feel like. Have you been to those people or places where the mood is always determined by the person that owns the business? When you get there today, if he's not happy, the whole place is somehow. Because he cannot control his emotions. Because something offended him at home. When he gets to the place of doing his job, he carries it. Ah, if you have, women, don't be angry. But men, if you have worked with a woman that is your boss, you have to be praying for her. If she's in a bad mood, some men do it too. They will transfer their aggression. Have you seen it before? Some people, it's even to their children. Their husband has annoyed them. Then the child is now running up and down. Say, you boy, you are behaving like your father. You're behaving like... He will beat him with the remembrance of his father's misbehavior. He will give him knock from two sides. You are like your daddy. You are like... Because he's remembering him. Transferred aggression. When you know how to manage your emotions, you don't carry emotional baggage from another person to another person. Your customers don't care that what happened in your house. You must smile when they come. Welcome. How can we help you? Not that. Welcome. What do you want? Because your husband has annoyed your wife. Ah. Usually I can tell when a man or a woman is in emotional distress when they are driving. I just avoid them. Because they are driving. You notice that? They don't offend her. You must manage the emotions. They are powerful, but they are not meant to guide you. You can't live by them. There are times, there are many signs of emotional immaturity. There are times you will like somebody you are not married to or you are not supposed to be like. That emotions is like you have a dog and you don't put it on a leash. It will be running anyway. Like it doesn't have sense. It's you that will put it on a leash and say, come here. Bingo. Shh. Here. Say, see that fine girl. Mm-mm. Bingo. See that fine man? Mm-mm. Bingo. Women enter trouble most times because they love ahead before they even meet the person. Women fall in love before the person even know them. So that causes problem because they've already agreed. They've said yes to the question that they've not even been asked. Ah, men fall in lust ahead. Women fall in love ahead. So if a woman enters a place, either a new office or a church or anywhere, when she enters, she has scanned the place already. She knows the people that are eligible, the ones that are eligible. Women are fast. And you don't even know they are staring at you. If a man is staring at a girl, the girl knows and everybody in the room knows. Because he'll be saying like, and spit because of the mouth. See yellow girl. Everybody will know he's looking. And he'll follow, when she passes, he'll follow. Women are way smarter. They will scope the area, scope the person they want to scope. Nobody will even know. Plus the person. They won't know. They've sized you out. See, most men, the know you collected, they've kept it for you since. Because a woman already knows when you're going to talk to her. Because she has seen you staring at her. So she knows that this one won't come follow me talk now. This one will follow me talk. And she has kept her answer. She has said it. Whether you meet up or not. So she has kept your answer here. In her purse. So when you just waka, you just disagree, you deceive yourself. They do activity, they don't send you. Can't use that. She says, it's coming, he will come. They just say, hey, excuse me, please, can I? He said, no. Don't even. Because they've kept your answer since here. They've seen you since last week. They've kept your answer for you. Because she's already in love with somebody. Sometimes she's in love with somebody that's already married though. God, I told you feelings don't have sense. Sometimes she's in love with somebody else that don't even send them. So the problem with that is that when you're in love with that person that doesn't send you, you are ready to compromise for that person. And the person doesn't love you. Doesn't love you. But you are in love. So you must put your emotions in check. Put your emotions in check. You can't just let it go wild. The Bible said, he that has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. It's he that has no rule over his spirit is like, look at it here. He that had no rule or control over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without what? Walls. No protection. You will just be making mistakes. And this doesn't only apply to relationships. It also applies to even business. You can't make decisions emotionally. Hallelujah. Beating your spouse is emotional immaturity. Loving somebody else you are not supposed to love. For instance, if you are married and you love somebody else, that's emotional immaturity. It's nothing new. It's nothing new. It just shows that you can't manage your emotions. You will always have feelings for people, but it's control. You don't allow it to fester. You don't allow it to continue. You put your emotions in check. Hallelujah. So learn to manage your emotions. I'll go quickly. There are a few things you can do to help put your emotions in check. There are a few things you can do to help put your emotions in check, to manage it better. From business or to everyday relationships, how you treat people, how you relate with people. Very important. To your marriage decisions, how you choose who you marry, to even how you now live with the husband or wife you have married, all of them require emotional maturity. You cannot make those decisions emotionally. Emotions are powerful, but they are not created to be your GPS. They cannot lead you. They cannot guide you. They are not structured to have sense. They are not structured to have reason. Emotion is supposed to follow your reasoning. I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. God, the way God designed it, you are supposed to actually channel your emotion where you want it. Let me give you an example. Emeka, you are looking very gentle. Come and do an example for me. Nana, come. I like your trouser. You are looking sharp. But you didn't wear your suit. It's okay. We'll manage it as it. So, this guy is my reasoning. This one is the one that has sense. This is the one that can make decisions. This is the one that was designed to make decisions. This one. This one, his own. He's a number two. He was never designed to make decisions. He's only made to help the decision that was made to go smoothly. That's his work. He doesn't have any sense. Now, this boy has sense, but I mean, as emotions. He doesn't have sense. So, I have met my wife. This one has sense. He has made all the necessary normal checks to decide, okay, this girl I met, is she godly? Is she the kind of woman I like? These important questions are they in place? Is what's the character like? You see, I refuse to fall in lust. For men fall in lust ahead. Women fall in love ahead. Alright? For men, they look at the beauty and they decide already. When they enter the room, they see the finest girl. They've already decided that's the girl they want. They don't even know her. Most times I wish beauty has any part to play inside marriage. Most times, those girls that you think are beautiful, you need to check if their character too is beautiful. Sometimes it's not. So, but this guy has fallen in lust, or the girl has fallen in love, and she, let's imagine they've even married. When you marry, the point is that this one is supposed to drag this one by force. This one is an assistant. He's not supposed to choose who will marry. If you leave this one and choose who will marry, he'll be marrying every week. That's the problem with this one. This one falls in love anyhow. It doesn't have sense. All these people that fall in love at first sight, you notice they fall in love a lot. It's not one day. If you're a man here and a woman is toasting you, you are not the first and you won't be the last. It means she can't control her emotions. She must get what her feelings is calling her to get. See, collecting shoe, when you are still owing for the last shoe you collected, collecting on that one is emotional immaturity. You didn't hear what I said. I said, you have not finished paying for the last shoe you collected. You now go to that shop, you start saying, I say, what's doing you? We'll put chain on your hand. That's emotional immaturity. That means you have not reached the stage in your life where you discover that it's not everything you like you must have. In this life, it's not everything you like you must have. Some things you like them and just greet them. Says, well, God bless you. And you face your front. If you start dwelling on it, you will get into trouble. It's not everything you see you must like. Say, I like animals. They say, okay, there's one lion. Do you want? He say, yes, give me. They bring it. Where do you keep it? I live in 2-bedroom flat. Where will you keep it? You don't have where to keep it. Can you give it goats every 2 days? You know, you can't afford it. So you don't like it. Go and be looking at this inside zoo. When it belongs to somebody else. But to say you want to get everything you like, Any man you see, I want. Any woman you see, I want. You're going to get in trouble. Because you are tripping so much for this girl, now doesn't mean you won't trip for another person. Even when you're married, you keep seeing people that it's possible for you to trip for. It's emotional balance that puts you in check. If you don't have it, you'll be falling in love. Even though you're married, you'll fall in love with everybody you meet. You can fall in love with 100 people. Felix don't have sense. Is somebody getting this? So this guy, so if I have a job, sometimes I don't feel like going to work. This guy has sense. He knows we have to go to work. So this one doesn't have sense. But this guy will do what? Drag this guy along. I'm married. After some years, it seems I'm tired of my wife, or I'm tired of my husband, or she has given birth. She's no more as slim as he was when I met her. So I'm now looking at some other slim girl that is single. This one has sense. He knows that doesn't make sense. He will drag this one along. Do you get the concept? This sense, his own job is to be dragging the feelings. Feelings should never lead. Because feelings doesn't have sense. Do you understand? Thank you, feelings. And sense. Feelings, you are leading, no? Let him lead you to your seat. Please. Thank you. But that's the idea. So there are times you might not feel like going to church. Your feelings are saying today we feel like sitting at home and watching TV. Does your feelings tell you that sometimes? That's your feeling. It doesn't have sense. But your sense knows that if you start making a habit of missing church from one, it will continue. And you get spiritually weak. So your sense will tell you to stand up. Sometimes your feeling even tells you not to go to work. Those of you that work, has your feeling ever told you that? That today don't go to work. He has not thought of how you earn salary. That's not, you see, it doesn't have sense. Feelings don't think for you. Then what are we gonna, As soon as I don't feel like going. Since I've been born, I've never felt like writing an exam in my life. My idea of school is that we open at the beginning of term, play and play and play and gist and gist and gist. Then after one day, we just say, we're all tired. Let's go on holiday. No exam. Wouldn't that be great? Feelings don't want to do what is right. If you're a married person, I put it to you, you will not always feel like loving your husband or wife. You will not always feel like doing what is nice, cooking for them, serving them, being polite. You will not always feel like. But mastering the art of doing what you don't feel like is one of the greatest secrets of success in life. When you have mastered the fact that I don't feel like doing what I'm doing right now, but I have to do it. And I will drag my feelings along. Even if he's rolling on the ground and saying, I don't want, like a stubborn child. I'm still dragging him, saying, you must come. Hallelujah. Let me move into, how do I manage my emotions? There are two things, quickly. And we'll close from there. Number one is prayer. For those of you that are single, let me say this. For those of you that are single, please, one of the things you must always do when men are coming to ask your hand in marriage or men are toasting you, always pray that God should bypass your emotions so that you will see well. Some ladies have either chosen the wrong person or not chosen the right person because of how they feel emotionally. You see, as a woman, society has already programmed your mind about how to think about relationships. You have an ideal. You have a picture in your mind. Sometimes those pictures are not real. Sometimes those pictures were not founded by scripture. They were founded by fantasy. And whether I like it or not, it has entered you. For instance, most women like to be proposed to. Nowadays, it's a raining thing. You go to Third Mainland Bridge, knee down on one knee. Some even knee down on two knees and propose. And the girl says, oh my God, oh my God. Which scripture is that? You know, it's not God that taught you. It's society that taught you. And many of you have owned it. In your mind, if your husband doesn't do that, if your fiancé doesn't do that, he doesn't know what's up. He's not a great man. You see, it's a false image that has been built in your mind and you have owned it. That's what I'm saying. You must always pray for God to bypass your emotions. Sometimes you've been trained falsely. You've been groomed wrongly. Many false ideology that you have, that you don't even know where it came from. Many ladies today don't want to marry a struggling man. They want to marry a rich man. That's why the bulk of girls today are dating married men. That's the secret behind it. Because the married guy is more established, more responsible. What you don't realize that most times that man himself, at the time he was single, probably wasn't like that. Somebody married him and saw the future in him and walked with him until he became who he is today. I didn't look like this when I was single. I didn't look like this. So that's the mistake. Because people have an image in their mind. They don't understand that even when you are praying for something, if you are praying for a tree, most times what God gives you is a seed. So if you can't recognize the seed, you will keep waiting for a tree to come. Not knowing that God has answered you since by giving you a seed and saying, go and plant it. Your tree is inside here. So as a woman, always pray when you're trying to make a decision. Let God bypass your emotion. Do you know that Pastor Mildred said that when she first met me and everything, she didn't even think I was fine? In fact, yes, sir. I told her she had not bought her glasses that time. She said she didn't think I was fine. She said I was everything she did not want. Those of you who have heard the story, you know. She said she didn't want to marry Igbo. She didn't want to marry a pastor. She didn't want to marry somebody fair. She didn't want to marry Igbo because she felt Igbos can be very arrogant. And they go to village every Christmas. And, you know, they have all the small, small cultural issues she doesn't have power for. Secondly, she said she didn't want to marry somebody fair because she's already very fair. In secondary school, she was like half caste, was very fair. So she said, if you marry somebody very fair, they can give back to Abino. That she doesn't want somebody too fair. She said she doesn't want to marry a pastor because she didn't feel she was a pastor's wife. She doesn't want to marry somebody that is hairy because she too is hairy. That if you marry two people that are hairy, it's gorilla they will burn. Basically, I was everything she did not want. And trust me, all women, or at least most women, have these pictures. Different kinds of pictures that they've created. Not scriptural picture. Not Holy Ghost picture. It's man-made pictures that they got from different places. All women, most women have it. And it can hinder you from the person you should marry. Some women, their own is money. Because maybe they're coming from a poor background. They've seen their mother suffer. They say, I can never marry a poor man. Anybody I marry must be able to take care of me. Are you handicapped? Take care of, you can't take care of yourself. Are you less privileged? Say, you must take care of me. What didn't do your hand? Take care of yourself. So, you know, they have things they are running from. Say, I can never marry this tribe. I can never marry Yoruba. I can never marry Igbo. I can never, you know, maybe the different experiences. All women have that. So as a woman, whenever men are coming near you, please pray that God bypass my emotions. And tell me what to do. And Pastor Mildred says she prayed that prayer. And that's how God showed her that this is your husband. And today she's very happy that she made that decision. She would have missed me. Yeah. I might not be a great guy, but I'm managing. The way Bobo boy says it. This is where we are managing. And that's 13 shops. With 3 warehouses. See, we are managing. We're just managing. Praise God. She would have missed me. I don't know how many ladies have missed who God sent to them because he didn't look like it. He didn't fit their own picture. So prayer helps you. You say, God, bypass my emotions. Bypass what I think I know. Bypass how I'm thinking now. And show me, just in case I'm missing something. Jesus also, you know, didn't want to go to the cross. Remember the story? He didn't want to die. It was prayer that he prayed. He said, God, let your will be done. I don't want to go. If it's possible, let me escape this thing. But I want to do your will. See, it was in that place of prayer that he was strengthened to go ahead. He got discouraged. Same thing with depression. People that face depression, and it's becoming more and more common, suicide and things like that. People that face depression, is very simple. See, for you to be getting to the point of depression, it means there's a gap in your prayer life, most likely. Because if you spend quality time in God's presence in prayer, the Bible says in His presence there is fullness of joy. So suicide is also emotional imbalance. You are feeling down to the point of killing yourself. We all get times when we feel down, but you must never get to the stage where you prefer to kill yourself. Learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. What does that mean? He allowed the Lord to encourage him. He allowed his relationship with God to boost his encouragement. He said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Not by watching TV. Not by going on Instagram. You see, those things can't always encourage you. Because maybe you are feeling depressed that you are not married. Then you want to go to Instagram. And that's the week Banky and Adesua are getting married. In Cape Town. And you now start seeing all the beautiful wedding picture. You see all the... Are you going to be encouraged? No! You say, what is wrong with me? You encourage yourself in the Lord. You see, if you go to God in prayer, you will get the encouragement. TV and social media can't always be... Sometimes it can be a discouragement. Ah. You say, I want to go to my friend's house. No. There's nothing wrong in that, but it's God that is the best encourager. Because that's you say, I don't have a job. Let me go to my friend's house. And you go to your friend's house and he's telling you that, my brother, I just got promoted. And they will give me staff car, staff wife, staff house. And I'll be traveling 3 times a year, you know, and the salary is in billions. Will you be encouraged when you live there? No. I'm saying stop chasing encouragement from anything other than God. God is your best encourager. Some of the people you are looking up to, they're never happy with their own life. So, God is your best encourager. You can't be a single lady, you are dealing with issues of loneliness, then the only music you're listening to is love song. I just wanna hold you. Yeah? You should be listening to fire, fire, Holy Ghost, fire. That's what you should be listening to. In the Lord. Don't go and listen to a love song. You want to kill yourself. I just want to hurt you. You go and do something stupid. You go and look for your ex. God is your encourager. In the presence of God, there is what? Fullness of joy. A true believer that is spending time in God's presence can't be depressed. A true believer that is spending time in God's presence, so not that you won't deal with depression, but it won't depress you. You will get a kick. You will get the strength from God. You can't be in God's presence and still live with depression. It doesn't happen. He will strengthen you. Hallelujah. Go to Him when you are sad. Go to Him when you are down. He's the best encourager. No man can be responsible for your happiness. Only God can. So prayer. Prayer will help you deal with your feelings. When you're having feelings for somebody you're not married to, go and pray. Don't despise the simple prayers of God help me. God help me. Don't despise that prayer. God answers it. God will release help to you at that time. Say, God help me. Because your feelings don't have sense. Feelings can love anybody likes. Say, no. Come back here. God help us. Number two, I have to round up. Number two, put principles in place. Put principles in place. One of the ways to cage your feelings is by putting locks on the cage. Put principles. If you catch a bird and you don't want to fly away, you put it in what? In a cage. And you lock the cage. You lock the cage. So, you put checks and balances. You put structures that will help put your emotions in check so that you won't make the wrong decision. Dating wrong people back to back is a sign of emotional immaturity. Watch out for those girls that say all men are the same. All men? When did you date all men? Manchester International. Manchester United. Because you have tested all the men. To know that they are all the same? Now? Whenever you hear a girl say that, that is a girl that has not managed her emotions well. It's a serial dater. Manchester United. You have tested all and you have confirmed, written a thesis that all men are the same. signed and sealed by the official man tester of Nigeria. And for a girl to say that is proof that she has been dating a certain kind of man. So she's making the same mistakes over and over and over again. So you need to correct. Each of you to fight men. Nothing is wrong with men. You need to change the basis for your decisions. That's what you should do. Instead of blaming all men, change how do you choose the people you date? That's the first problem. And there are many structures. For instance, in our own church, there are many structures we've put in place to help people's life. Not because we don't have work to do. It's to help people. Because listen, every time you go through heartbreak is damaging you. If you break something and join it together, it's never the same as when it came originally. It can't be the same. We can patch it, but it's not the same. And when we patch, by the time you even meet the real person you marry, you're already too broken. You have many baggage. You are now too suspicious because all men are the same. So you are suspicious. You are not FBI. You can't trust again because too many people have broken your trust. Hallelujah. It's to save your life. Put some of our own principles here. And we say it all the time, but people still come and claim they don't know we have ever said it. I'm saying it again now today. Every girl, listen, especially, it's you I'm trying to protect the most. Before you even start a relationship, please talk to a counselor or a pastor in church that knows you and probably knows the person, if the person is in this church. If the person is not in this church, talk to a pastor here so they can even ask you some important questions that you're in love might not think of. I told you, emotions don't have sense. Let us talk to a counselor. Before you start, so not when you have gone foul. As a pastor, I can't tell you the amount of times a lady will come and say, "Pastor, thank God for me life. I like this church. God, I'm a living miracle. God has done it. God is doing it. And God will do." I say, "What's the house up there?" He said, "Pastor, I've been in a relationship now for 6 months. We're looking at April next year." I say, "Did you talk to a counselor or a pastor before you started?" "Hey, Pastor, I thought this. All of them don't know when they have done something wrong. They don't know the principle, which I've said again and again. I say it almost every Sunday." "Yeah, I don't know." I say, "Okay, tell him." "What's his name?" He says, "John." "Tell him to come and tell me." He should come and tell me he's in a relationship. Some people think I'm just doing that because I don't have work. It mustn't be me. It can be any pastor or minister. Let them, it will save you a lot of time wasters. You'll notice that from that point, all the false relationship will go down because the guy is not ready to come and say he's not. So you notice that 2 months he has not come to say it. He's postponing it. "Come meet pastor and say, he's busy. I will go when the Hamatan finish." Because it was never serious. It was not a long-term thing. Sometimes the girl will say she's in 6 months relationship. I will call the guy. I will call the so-called brother. "Brother John, how are you?" "Say, fine. How is everything? Good. How is work? Great. As are you looking to settle down? Is there anybody in the picture? Is there any lady you are interested in?" You say, "No, Pastor, I'm just facing the Lord. Only Jesus Christ now. It's my focus. Jesus and my business. The only thing I'm focusing on now. I'm not interested. I'm not thinking of marriage." He's in 6 months relationship. He is not aware. Somebody has married him, he doesn't know. So when we put these structures in place, it's to save people from nonsense. One of my very good sons, he said he proposed to two people that were already engaged too. Because they were engaged. He didn't know. Because some girls you are seeing walking up and down looking pretty, some of them are married. Some are engaged. You just go and tell somebody's wife, they will shoot you. Right in church. And we have operation, they will just carry you. Talk to someone. It's not because we want to monitor you. It's just for sanity. Because when you just move anyhow you like, if you do anyhow, you see anyhow. There are some reckless boys that are dating 13 girls at the same time. 2 or 3 girls at the same time. Oh yes. In different services. Our church now, we have 2 services. Some churches have 5 services. So this guy dates people in all the 5 services. But he tells them, "Don't tell anybody." And I don't know why girls like that. "Don't tell anybody." She will say, "No, if he wants to marry you, they don't hide marriage. If he's hiding you, something is already wrong. He's a suspect. Why is he hiding? What are you hiding? If you want to marry, it's a public affair. You must not tell the whole world, but at least be accountable. Accountability will save your life. When you are accountable, all of us as human beings, there are areas where you are weak. There are areas you can't even trust your own judgment. But when you have other people there, they can tell you sense that this thing doesn't make sense. Some of you, your money, some people are so weak financially because they always make emotional decisions with their money. Just if you're like that, as you make money but you never see it, put your money joint account with somebody else that both of you need to sign. And let the person be somebody tough that you can't convince. Your money, you will see you be rich. One of my staff, he's like that. Once money enter his pocket, if you greet him very well, he will dash your money. Greet him, hey! Just say, oh. Emotional with his money. You know what I did for him? I said, I called one of our bankers in church. I said, open a joint account for me and this guy. That both of us need to sign. Me and him. Every time they pay him his salary, they take, I think, 10K. I can't remember now, 10 or 20K. They take money from his account, from his salary, and put in. And I told him, for every 10K he saves, I will also save 10K for him. For every 10K he saves. So as he puts his 10K, I put my own 10K, and he will not collect it. He's rich now. I think he's getting close to 500K or something like that. This guy can never save before. He had working for years, didn't save one naira. But today, because we have entered joint, he can't sign. Can he tell me? He wants to withdraw money. 1 month, they paid him. Before they were able to take out the 10K, he spent the whole salary, complete with tithe involved. He spent everything. The next month, I said they should remove 20K. He's rich now, because he's saving by force now. There are many of you like that. You've been working since, but you have not saved one naira. Because you always spend emotionally. Every expenditure looks urgent. But it's not true. You will survive if you don't have money. But it looks urgent. Like, hey, I don't buy this thing. Christmas is coming. Now lie. If you don't have that money, you will rest. The reason you are feeling urgent, because you have the money in your hand. If you can't just take 20K in your pocket and be taking a stroll. Satan will eat it from you. Gala will be calling your name because you have money. Clap, you are going to clap. That's a good place to clap. Structures and principles will help your life. If you don't have money, you can't tell me. If you don't have money, you are selling gala. You know, it doesn't concern you. Because you don't have money. Say, buy cold yogurt. Say, if like me, cold, pass that one. I don't have money. But when you have money, then you are even listening to the thing they are saying. Buy cold ice yogurt. It's ice and cold and fresh. No, make it not fresh. It's money in your pocket that is causing problem. If there's no money, you can't have problem. That boy now, he almost has 500K. I'm not talking about saving by force. And if he continues being diligent, I'm sure in the next 10 years, he'll be a millionaire. From the small menial job he's doing, he'll be a millionaire. We are the people that earn far more than him, but no emotional balance. Anybody beg you money, just give them. If anybody begging you, some people begging you, they are richer than you. And if you know what they are spending with the money, if you know what they are doing with money, you will cry for yourself. It's nonsense they're doing with it. Please, please. I put structures in place. I don't just give money out. No, I don't do that. If you like, say you're dying. Sometimes when you tell them no, they will see an alternative. That alternative is there, but they don't see because you are the alternative now. Once you block your own door that you're no more, you will see that they will survive. They won't die. There's nobody begging you that will die. He will find a way. Some people, their breakthrough is in the fact that everybody says no, then they will think and walk. But because Nigeria, we have the system that supports poor people. I don't mean real poor people. I mean adults that have what they can do. But there are people that are handicapped, have one hand that they have business. But you see grown up, complete person, begging as a business because everybody gives him. If they stop giving him, you see, you'll find work. He will learn a trade. Bill Gates have been giving billions to Africa since. Has poverty shifted? It hasn't even shaken. Maybe I will do research for you. You'll find out how much Bill Gates has given him. Billions of dollars to Africa. Poverty has not even turned to the next side. He's still lying down, he's too back. Because giving money to the poor never frees the poor. Never does. Because it wasn't money that made the poor poor in the first place. You can't cure something that doesn't exist. Somebody put on their page, they bought wheelchair for one, somebody that was handicapped. They bought wheelchair for him and everything and gave him money. He came back the next week. He has sold the wheelchair. Came back and they should give him all they promised him. That person is not money he needs. You need to first change. If you don't change his mind, any money you are giving him is a waste. Nigeria doesn't need money. It's the people's mindset that is wrong. If they dash us 10 billion, I don't know if that's big money. If they dash us 10 billion pounds. As a country, we'll be exactly on the same spot in 1 year from that time. Do you know how much they found in people's houses that have been stolen in billions? That money was stolen. Did they first know the money was stolen? Were you aware before that they stole the money before they found it? We're surviving happily. That's why if you pour 20 billion pounds inside Nigeria, it will also stifle out like that. Because the problem is never money. Our problem is not money. Nobody changes money. We have money. Our problem is sense. So if you don't give us sense or put structure that will force sense, dash any money you want to dash Nigeria. If you see budgets, I know some of you are not, you don't follow politics. If you see budgets, you will cry. There's budget for a hospital that we don't have. There's budget for it. There's budget for school that we don't have. They have the money, they have given somebody the money. He never gets to build the school. It's a school. There's school. It's all that is in people's pocket. Some people are working with a full university in their bank. You say it's money. It's not money they need. You don't need more money. Don't need more money. It's more sense and structure. You put a structure. So if you're a girl, before you start dating, a Christian girl, because some people can stir up your emotions, you won't be thinking, well, talk to a counselor that is not in love. He will tell you, this boy, what does he do for a living? He loves me. He loves me, it's not work. What does he do? Where is he coming? Important questions that will save your destiny. Most relationships that end in divorce, it was obvious from the relationship stage, but two people were performing blind. Love is blind. Until landlord come. You know, say landlord, no blind. Is somebody getting this? Do you know you can be owing plenty money and still go and buy a car? Some men like that, you're owing money, you've not finished paying rent. They've now brought new iPhone 10 and you are pressured. I must upgrade my phone. When you're owing rent, structure will save your destiny. Put the money where you can't find it. No matter what they pressure you to buy, you won't buy. Because there's no money. You know you can't come and tell the person that I want to go and buy a phone. You know, by the time you look, you know, there are some things, have you ever been in a place where you want to make a decision, but you can't even call the person you want to ask for advice because you already know what they will say. Have you asked me before? You want to make a stupid decision, but you want to ask for advice. But even the person you are calling, you already know what answer they will give you before you even call. So you avoid calling them. Because you know they will ask you, are you mad? Are you mad? Something just happened right now and I'm very angry. You know they won't answer you. Is somebody getting this, guys? Put the structures in place. Don't follow your feelings. Put principles in place. Put basic principles in place. There's an amount of money you should not be dashing out. There's an amount of money you should not spend anyhow. Put principles in place. Some years ago, I wanted to buy a house. This was many years ago. So, I met the owner of the house. It was a distressed sale. He was in some kind of situation where he needed money urgently. So he was going to sell one wing of his house very cheaply. Very cheap. He needed money badly. And the house was cheap. Beautiful house. Big compound. He needed to sell it cheap. I didn't have money. But as a man of faith, I always believe in moving by faith. So I had 1 million naira. I wanted to deposit the 1 million that later, I'll find a way to get the remaining 10 or 20 million. I mean, 10 million or so I needed. So I went there with my agent. And thank God, he's a very sound person. He said, okay, you don't have this money, but you want to deposit 1 million. He said, let's get a lawyer and let's sign papers. I said, no, this man is my friend. He lives in the same estate with me. We are good friends. No problem. You see, that's feelings talking. No problem. He will keep it, you know. My friend said, no, we're not going to drop this check. He insisted. So we got a lawyer, wrote something. The guy signed, I signed. Of course, I couldn't get the remaining money. This was 10, 15 years ago. I didn't have any money. I just, by faith, got the 1 million. So I couldn't meet up with the payment. So the guy sold the house to somebody else. To collect my 1 million back, became an issue. The only way we were able to collect it was because our lawyer contacted the guy. If we did not get the lawyer to sign, that guy for March, that 1 million. You see, my feelings wanted to go, and that's how I love men enter relationships, without the background check. He just loved me. He said he loved me. I love him. Tell him, come and meet pastor. Put principles, no sex for marriage. It will save you 90% of your time with stars will go. If you just tell the guy from the beginning that, look, no sex, you won't even kiss my hand. How much more my mouth? No sex for marriage. 90% of your time wasters. We go, but instead, you want to test all men to prove that all men are the same. So anywhere they say they will marry you, you open your clothes. Anywhere they marry you, so you have tested at least 30 or 40 people. Once you say no marriage, men don't like what I'm wasting because they know they didn't want to marry you before. But women don't want to have sense. They just say, hey, you want to marry me? Are you sure? Are you sure? Promise. Promise you marry me. Yes. Oh yeah. She will just pull her clothes. Oh yeah. Let me pull my clothes. Stop doing that. Stop doing that, ladies. Stop doing that. If you want sex, tell him no problem. Once we marry, I will finish you. You don't want to say anything. Not be sex today, fine. Marry first. You go see skill you never see before. You don't know me, oh. Just marry. Not that I tell you, I will marry you. Just say, are you sure? Promise. Because he said, we'll marry you. What's that? Are you that cheap? Only a promise. Marry! Let's go. Go to my village. This is, let's do traditional. I'm ready for you. No be sex. You don't know me, oh. I'm ready. I have different style of imagining for you. But instead, our sisters beforehand. That structure, that simple structure, will save you at least 90% of your time with us. On that structure, refuse to give 1 naira in exchange until wedding day, until you marry. Because some men are trying to chase you for your money. No money. We don't give men money where we come from. If you're ready, you work for your money, let me see. Because some men want your money. Somebody getting this? Put those structures. Then, even after you have entered the relationship, please do marriage counseling. Don't just say 2 people just married. That doesn't make it work. You need to have skill and know what it takes to marry. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed this morning? Hallelujah.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.